The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, let's see. I have got about a one-hour word, and I've got 20 minutes to do it in. Jesus help. Jesus, help, 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 help. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we do. We thank you, God, for your word. God, there's been so much preached, and there has been so much ministered today. God, that we could go home now. And Lord, we've received an incredible impartation. God, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, we just posture our hearts before you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, as Dan was reading in Matthew chapter 6, something, the one verse really jumped out at me, and it's verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added to you." And the thing that really jumped out to me is this whole issue of seeking first the kingdom of God. How many have ever heard the saying and even allowed yourself to come under the saying of "you're so heavenly conscious that you're no earthly good"? Anybody heard that? Has anybody received that and said, "Oh, well, then I'm just not going to be so heavenly conscious. I'm going to make sure that my faith is practical, that I'm going to do things that will be noticed and things that will make a change"? And, you know, I understand what that's saying. I know that our faith has got to result. The inward manifestation and impartation of the Holy Spirit has got to come to the place where it comes into a manifestation in the world. See, on earth as it is in heaven means that what happens inside has got to be manifested outside. The things that happen in our spirit man have got to work so that our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions come into alignment so that our physical actions actually line up with what God has been doing inside. Amen? So I understand that we have got to be heavenly minded with a purpose so that we can be earthly good. But how does that happen? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that? What's the posture of our heart? What are we pursuing when we say that we're seeking first the kingdom of God? I mean, are we seeking some kingdom that's, you know, somewhere beyond the universe, someplace where God dwells out there? You know, I don't believe that that's what we're really looking for. What we're looking for is the kingdom, the dominion and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ to be manifest, first of all, in my life, second of all, in the lives of those around me. That what we're seeking is a kingdom authority, a manifestation of a rule of reign and righteousness and of peace that will infiltrate our lives, work in our lives, and work in our circumstances, work in our spheres of influences, that what happens inside with the kingdom is now released. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't think we're necessarily seeking a place as much as we're seeking a set of dynamics of a ruling king, a set of parameters that have been spoken by Jesus that just look way different than everything that you see, taste, touch, and feel. In other words, this is a kingdom that has to, first of all, be recognized in your spirit man. If you try to get this kingdom by intellectualism, you'll mess up every time. You'll get something that'll look like it's really good, but I'll tell you, it will be a powerless religion. Let me say that again. Because in the last, especially in America, the way we have approached the kingdom of God is, if we can study this word enough, if we can dissect it, if we can trisect it, if we can run the parallel verses all over the place, and if we can come up with a good, orderly teaching, then it's going to change hearts and minds. Hearts and minds will not be changed unless there is a pursuing and receiving in your spirit man. See, if it was just a matter of reading the words on the page, and on the pages, I say this very carefully because I know this, the Word of God is quick and sharp, it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I know the Word of God will do that. The written Word of God will do that. But it will not do that unless it's mixed with faith. The gospel was preached to the Israelites, and it says that they could have gone in and taken the land, but because the gospel was not received and mixed with faith, that even the powerful word of God did nothing in their lives. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is a spiritual action. Faith is something that comes from inside. It's not something that we can intellectually say, well, I believe. You believe after you hear it in your spirit man. Okay? So, even the Word of God, when it's not mixed by faith, when it's not mixed with this element of believing, simple, joyful believing, and it's way more simple than we think it is. It's so simple that we stumble upon it. And we think, if I can just get more teaching, if I can just get more of the Word in me, if I can just get more of this, those things are really, really good. But I'll tell you, they're not first and foremost. The posture of your heart with a willingness to believe the impossible, that's seeking first the kingdom of heaven. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. It starts in here. It starts in your spirit man. See, Jesus always preached and taught things, and the word itself is written in a way that it will offend your heart. It's written in a way that the natural man cannot receive it. I want to read something out of Matthew chapter 13. His disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus, why don't you just talk straight? Why do you always speak in parables?" Jesus answered. He said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." Okay, you want to know prosperity? There it is. "But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, then so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see." This is speaking to you and me. "What you see and what they did not see it, and to hear what you're hearing, and they did not hear it." So Jesus is basically saying this. Okay, I'm just going to summarize this parable. I don't have a lot of time with this. But he's basically saying this. He's saying that you cannot comprehend the things of the kingdom with your natural eyes and your natural ears. That we have a set of senses that are spiritual in nature, and it's only by those things, by those senses, that you can really understand, comprehend, apprehend, pull in, and live in this kingdom dynamic. that there were some that were trying to do it with their natural eyes. They're called scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You can call them what they were, the religious system of that day. How many know that there are scribes and Pharisees today? How many have been a scribe and a Pharisee? Well, let's not ask that question. Let's not go there. I mean, come on, we've all done it. We've all done it. We've tried to make the Word of God fit some kind of a box, fit some kind of a thing that we can just teach it so that others can get it. I tell you, that there's dynamics and there's principles and there's things that God will never go against in the Word of God. But I'll tell you, unless it's mixed with faith, unless it's mixed with these eyes of the Spirit, these ears of the Spirit, unless we can smell the fragrance of Christ on something, unless we can taste and see that the Lord is good, unless we can feel His presence, then we've missed it. But all of those things happen with another set of senses that we have. My purpose this morning is that there will be an awakening this morning of our spiritual senses. That all of the stuff that we have put trust in before, all of the things, all of the natural things that we can get such confidence in, I know that I've got a good enough brain that if I can just study this thing enough, then it's going to happen. See, that's okay. I thank God for people with great intellect. I thank God that I've got a kind of a good intellect. I thank God for our brains and the way they work and our minds and good minds. God has given those things as a gift. But when those things are put in authority over a spiritual revelation, then it becomes perverted. When that which we can see, taste, touch, and feel takes precedence over this invisible kingdom, then it's perverted. I know I'm treading on some dangerous water here, because now all of a sudden we're going to say, well, okay, so we live in, you know, we float around in la-la land, and there goes Dave again. Dave just loves to be this dreamer that just kind of gets lost, and, you know, he's like, comes time to preach, and Dave's just lost, you know, and that's not it. Got my back, brother. You're a dreamer too. There you go. See, and the dreaming thing is good. The dreaming thing is good. And the whole point of my message here is that we see with the spiritual eyes, we hear with the spiritual ears, we smell the fragrance of Christ so that we can make a difference in our surrounding. That's how we bring heaven to earth. You will never bring heaven to earth by intellectually getting an idea of what things are being done. It's easier said than done. But I tell you, the spiritual senses work an awful lot like the natural senses. I mean, okay, what does your spiritual sense of smell have to do? You know, even the Three Stooges know it. You ever heard Moe say, something smells fishy around here? You know, he wasn't talking about some kind of rotten thing that was going on in the corner. He was talking about the circumstance that he knew there was something that wasn't right. That's the there's a fragrance that we have in the spirit realm. In 2 Corinthians, wherever it is, Jesus said that we carry the fragrance of Christ. And to some, it's a fragrance that's just, what you're carrying is beautiful. What you have, it just, it smells so good. There's others that will look at you saying, man, that smell scares me. You smell like death to me. And conviction comes. See, they're smelling something in the spirit. Do you know that even unbelievers have these five senses? They do. They do. They're just not redeemed and they're dead. They respond to death and they don't respond to the life that's in Christ. They have them. They have a feeling about you. You know, but see, we have this fragrance that we carry that either gives people a waft of Christ, or for some it's a waft of death, because they're convicted in their sin and they don't want to change sin. They love darkness more than they love the light that you're carrying. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever heard it said? You know, I had a conversation with somebody and it just left a lousy taste in my mouth. Remember that? Yeah, you know, we talk like this, don't we? Unbelievers talk like this, don't they? Well, that circumstance that I walked through, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. See, there's a spiritual senses that we walk in, we talk about, that we live in every day, but we have not recognized it. I just want to say to you that you are spiritual people. You're born again. You're born of the Spirit, and you live by spiritual senses. This is truth. This is truth. Do you ever feel the love of somebody?
Yeah.
The sense of feeling. Just think of the sense of feeling. I feel loved by certain people. I feel hated by certain people. I feel threatened by certain people. See, we have these inner feelings. We've got these things that are inner senses that we need to know how to exercise so that they can be built. Hebrews chapter 5, something says that strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use, having had their senses exercised, why? To discern good and evil. See, if when we get these spiritual senses and learn how to exercise them, how many know it'll save you a lot of trouble? How many know you can smell a bad situation coming before you actually enter into that bad situation? How many know that you can taste the bitterness of something before you enter into it? See, there's two primary purposes for these senses, both in the natural and in the spiritual. The first is for the knowledge of good and evil. It's for keeping you safe. It's for warning you of some things that are coming. You can see in the spirit realm. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You're born again, you can see the kingdom of God. See, and in the natural realm, our senses keep us, well, I see that stove is hot. I see a car coming. I'm not going to step out into the road yet. Get whopped, you know. Come on. And you can see things in the spirit with your spiritual senses. You can see things coming. I'm not preaching pie in the sky here. What I'm doing is I am stirring you to awaken, to pursue, and to know how you're built, to understand your spirit man, to be able to comprehend, to be in touch with your spirit man so that in your soul man, you can come into alignment with what your spirit is seeing. That's what faith does. See, faith originates in the spirit man, but your mind has got to come into alignment with it. Because God will not usurp your will. He will not overrule your will. He will not overrule your emotions if you don't allow Him to. The soul, see, and their soul man has got to come into alignment. The soul, that's not your enemy. Living soulishly, living strictly by external influences, that's your enemy. Your soul is not your enemy. Your body, your physical body is not your enemy. God has created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have this magnificence of a creation called humankind. And we're spirit, soul, and body. And the three, they're so close that they can't be separated. And yet they're so different that they're totally different. Seven times in the book of Revelation, between chapter 2 and 3, there's seven letters written. And each of those letters written to the churches of Asia Minor end up saying, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. How many know that Jesus wasn't appealing to their ears? Hey, I got two ears. That qualifies me twice, you know. No, he's talking about the ears of your heart. Let him who has an ear to hear everything that was spoken over us this morning. If all you heard was with your natural ears, you missed the heartbeat of Jesus. You missed the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit, who wanted to convince you, who wanted you to bring you into security, who wanted to lavish his love upon you. But I tell you, unless you have an ear that hears in the spirit realm, we could have missed it. Can I be really honest with you? For the first few minutes, for the first little while, I wasn't really listening with the spirit ear. Pastor Dave, you mean you? Yeah, Pastor Dave wasn't listening with the spirit ear. And I was dangerously close to missing what God wanted to do today. Oh, can I encourage you to hear with your spiritual ear, to see with your spiritual eyes, to respond to the touch. Have you ever felt the love of God, his arms around you? Have you felt that? That's not some crazy, wacky thing. That is your spiritual senses. And it's precious. My prayer this morning is that you'll have an awakening of your spiritual senses. We're going to celebrate communion today. Do you know you have a spiritual appetite? Jesus was really good at offending people. You ever notice that? Jesus will offend your mind to open up your spirit. There may be some things that have happened here today that have offended your mind. You thought, well, what is that? What sense does that make? Can I encourage you, if you'll allow it, your mind can be offended so that you draw from a deeper well. That your spirit will ask the second questions. Okay? So taste and see that the Lord is good. Today, we're going to be breaking bread. Jesus said this. He has a revival going on, okay? I mean, he's just fed 5,000. He walks on the sea, scares the bejagans out of his disciples, meets them on the other side. The crowds find him and say, what do we got to do the works of God? And he says, just believe. That's his answer. Believe. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. There's got to be more to this. What are the dynamics and the principles? Don't we have to dig up all their sinful past? Just believe. And he'll do the works of God. But then he's got the crowds on his side. But then he says this. He says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have no part in him. How would you have been like to have been one of the recipients of that word? I mean, this is before we understood that Jesus was the bread of life. This was before we understood he was crucified and he had the Last Supper. He hadn't had the Last Supper yet. None of this stuff. How many think that his disciples had some real faith here? Jesus, whoa, Jesus, time out. What are you talking about? We just had revival going. Everybody's splitting. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's walking. Why did you tell them? It was going good till you told them that they had to eat your body and drink your blood. It's later on in that chapter where Jesus says, my words are spirit and they're life. If you're going to remain unoffended before God, then you have got to hear his words that are spirit and they're life. How many want to remain unoffended before God? How many want God to be able to speak something as radical to us as you got to eat my body and drink my blood and remain unoffended? See, the only way we can do that is through our spiritual senses. When we see, hear, taste, touch, and feel with our inner man, with our spirit man. You have a spiritual appetite. We're born with a spiritual appetite. The unbeliever has a spiritual appetite. All of our appetites, even our natural appetites, are meant to be fulfilled in a spiritual way. Perversion happens because the enemy always has a carnal way to fulfill a spiritual appetite. That's the essence of sin. The knowledge of good and evil is a carnal fulfillment of a spiritual appetite. See, we have, every person sitting here this morning has a spiritual appetite for intimacy. Right? We are created for intimacy. Intimacy with God, intimacy with one another, intimacy with our wives, intimacy with our brothers, our sisters. We're created for intimacy. And there is a spiritual way that we can fulfill that, and then there's a carnal way that the enemy wants to bring through illicit relationships, pornography, all the stuff that the enemy wants to take and replace true and real intimacy with. You have a spiritual appetite. And we need to learn how to minister and to achieve those spiritual hungers, those spiritual cravings. See, the enemy, I mean, God knows that people want to seek God. People know that God has created us with a desire to seek Him. He is the desire of the nations. You each, man is born with a vacuum in their heart for God. See, the enemy will bring religion and carnal Christianity even to try to fulfill a spiritual hunger. That's a perversion. But there is a real way that God has ordained for you, and it's to be a spiritual believer. Amen? Almost did it in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Not bad? I want to just pray over us just right now in this moment. We are going to break bread together. We're going to have communion together. But what I want to pray, and again, we receive by faith. If you feel like some of your spiritual senses need some sharpening, I want you to just receive this prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless this body that we are a spiritual people. God, that we are people who are born of the Spirit. God, that by your Spirit we see, taste, touch, feel, and smell the things of the kingdom. Your word says to seek first the kingdom. Father, I pray for an awakening this morning of the spiritual senses all throughout this room. Holy Spirit, just bring an awakening of spiritual sensitivity. The discerning of spirits is a gift from God. The discerning of spirits means that you not just see bad spirits and good spirits. It's a discernment of when, where, and how the kingdom of God is coming. I release over this body an ability to hear, taste, see, touch, and feel. I break every blockage in the name of Jesus. I break it, unbelief. A religious spirit, you're broken, you have no place. And Father, through intimacy with you, the commingling of Holy Spirit with our spirit, that there's an awakening of spirit beings throughout this place. In Jesus' name.